General Meeting, Columbus, Kentucky, September 1966. Addressed by C.N. Rogers.
But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, but of the dark, nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. We had before us in the Bible reading this morning the Lord Jesus Christ as the one in whom is light, and that he was light, and that the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not, or didn't lay hold of it or understand it. And then we have had that scripture brought to us in the 13th chapter of Romans, that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. And that prompted the thought that certainly if the apostle could write that in his epistle to the Romans 1900 and some years ago, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. How much more is that not true of us today as we are pilgrims here in this wilderness, and that we're journeying on toward our homeland, which is the glory. We have here that we are not the children of darkness. We're not in the darkness, but that we're children of light. But then we have an exhortation in verse 6. And any time we find an exhortation in Scripture, it's possible that we need it. Therefore, let us not sleep. That would be the natural exhortation that would come to us, that if we are not of the night, nor of the darkness, then let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That's an exhortation which is given to us because it's possible for a true believer to fall asleep and to be caught in the stream of this world that's going on to destruction, so that there's difficulty in actually seeing that this person is really a Christian. And in order to illustrate this, and to perhaps to draw some lessons from it, which would have a tendency either to keep us from falling asleep or a tendency to wake us out of that sleep, I'd like to draw attention to two men in the Old Testament. And to do that, we might turn to the 18th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou said. Now there is one person that's brought before us here in the Old Testament. Then turn to Genesis 19. And we read of another person. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But beloved, I believe we have here before us two believers, and we would never know, perhaps, that Lot was a believer if the New Testament didn't tell us that he was. But we're told in the second epistle of Peter that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And Lot is set there as an example that the Lord gives of how he is able to deliver the godly out of temptation. And the scriptures tell us that the filthy conversation of the wicked in Sodom, where Lot dwelt, was such that it vexed his righteous soul. So Lot was a believer. And Abraham was a believer. But what a difference there was between Lot and Abraham. And may it be our portion, as we've sung in that hymn, to walk in this world as believers in our pilgrim character, and not to fall asleep like Lot did. Because certainly we have these two men that are brought before us here in the Word of God, that we might learn a lesson from their lives. Now notice the difference between these meetings that these divine visitors had with these two different men. And you know, when we might ask ourselves this question, these men did not expect these visitors. Lot and Abraham, Lot was sitting there in the gate of Sodom, and Abraham was sitting there in his tent door in Mamre. And neither one of them apparently expected these divine visitors to come to pay them a visit. And that's the way that the true state of our souls and the true condition of our lives can be discovered. Because, you know, when we know that we're going to be examined, we might have a tendency to make things a little different. But on these occasions, when the Lord visited Abraham, he found a man there that he could go in and sup with, a man that he could be at home with, and a man who expressed to him the real thoughts and the real activity of a pilgrim in this world. But when he came to Lot, he found a man that had life, that had this life that we were reading about this morning. But he found a man who had so enmeshed himself in the world and in the course of things that he did not desire to go in there and have any fellowship with him. And what a sad picture it brings before us, beloved. And God forbid that that should be my case or your case. But we have that exhortation from the Word that let us not sleep. And inasmuch as we have that, then we know there's a possibility that it could happen to any of us. So we might learn some things from these two men. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. That was the Lord himself. And Abraham was resting. We find that Lot was resting. But Lot was resting in the gate of Sodom. And Abraham was resting in the heat of the day there in the door of his tent. I believe that Abraham brings before us a man who is resting in relation to the activity of man's day. And you know, it depends on how we look at the period of time that we're living in as to what it is to us. We might turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 for one verse. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. And the King James Version said, or of man's judgment. But perhaps a better reading there is the marginal reading, when we're told that I should be judged of you or of man's day. Man's day. Well, we have the scripture that tells us that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. But we also have the scripture that tells us that going along at the same period of time is man's day. The way the saint of God should look at it, the way the Apostle Paul looked at it, and the way it's revealed in Scripture, it's a night. But the way man looks at it, it's daytime. And you know, the world is going along in that ignorance that God does not look at this period of time as being daytime at all. And I believe that's connected with the Lord himself. You know, when the Lord was here in the world, he said that I am the light of the world. He was the light of the world when he was here. But now he's not here in this world. He's out of it. In other words, you might say that man put the light out. And therefore, this period of time when the Lord is absent is really the night time of this world. But man's day is characterized by the programs of men and the course of this world. And this world can be looked at as a course of things in which man has great plans for the future and in which man is apparently progressing and developing. But Abraham was not interested in that. Abraham brings before us the saint of God walking in his true pilgrim character, and he was resting in the heat of the day at his tent door. That is, he was not out there active, as it were, in that day, but he was resting in the heat of the day. That's one of the questions which was asked in the Song of Solomon. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Where do you rest at noon? In other words, beloved, the world is moving. And this is man's day. And man is progressing and carrying on his program. But the saint of God, walking in his true pilgrim character, would be one that would be resting in relation to all of those movements, the busy movements of man during man's day. And I get the thought that Lot was active at this time, because Lot was sitting down in the evening in the gate of Sodom. He was out there trying to move along with the course of things in the town of Sodom. But Abraham was resting. And the things that Abraham spoke, or we might say that the things that both of these men spoke, were such that it indicated what they were thinking about themselves and how they wanted these strangers to enter into their own fellowship and to do the things that they were actually in the enjoyment of themselves. So we find here that when Abraham ran out to meet the Lord and these two angels, he said, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree." Now I like to connect that with what we have in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, I believe it is. Now we know most of us no doubt know the occasion of the 13th chapter of John. It was the occasion on which the Lord began to wash the feet of the disciples. And verse 6, reading from verse 6 in John 13. "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And that's the verse I like to call attention to. Or we might read the next one. "Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all." I would like to draw particular attention to that, to verse 8, where the Lord says, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Now the Lord was not referring there to salvation, I don't believe, because he said that he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. Peter wanted a bath all over. But the Lord indicated to Peter that, Peter, you're already clean all over. Now what you need is to have your feet washed. Now that's what Abraham offered to these men. First of all, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet." Well, that's a commendable thing for a pilgrim to offer to a fellow pilgrim. "Let a little water be fetched, and wash your feet." Because Abraham, bringing him over into to that which he typifies, which is the believer in the world who is awake, knew that. Now, beloved, we need that, I believe, to realize the words that the Lord spoke here on this occasion when he said that except I wash you, you have no part with me. And I believe that that means that except the Lord Jesus Christ himself cleanse us from the defilements of this world, of which this dust that gets on our feet when we walk in our pilgrim journey typifies, that we have no part with him. And that means that we do not have a part with him in fellowship with him as he walked in this world, except he wash our feet. And Abraham offered that type of hospitality to these guests because it was something that Abraham was used to. It was something that he knew that was necessary in order for a person to walk in this pilgrim way. We have to have our feet washed. And it has to be done by the Lord himself. We're told there that except I wash you, you have no part with me. And it means that we do not just naturally walk along in the right path. We do not just become Christians like you would wind up a little toy and it automatically just walks on that original strength. But it's something that we need constantly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. We need that cleansing of the word of God. We know that the cleansing that comes to us when we're saved is a cleansing that's once for all. But beloved, when we walk in this old dusty world as pilgrims, we need to have our feet washed. And we need to do that in order to have a part with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we might have fellowship with him and not be contaminated with all of the influences of the world that are around us. Let a little water be fetched and wash your feet. And then he said, and rest yourselves under the tree. Rest yourselves under the tree. We have in the Song of Solomon a verse that says that I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Rest yourselves under the tree. You know, when you come to Sodom and Lot's welcome, you find no invitation here to rest yourself under the tree. Because Lot was a man that had lost the sense of that. And beloved, I believe that that tree speaks of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's no resting place like that. There's a hymn that has been sung. It's not in our hymn book, but it goes like this. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. It's the shadow of a mighty rock that's in a weary land. And rest yourselves under the tree. I think it's wonderful to see here that we find that Abraham is a man that was resting himself. That is, he was not busily active in going along with the course of this world. But he was a man that was resting. And if we would, we might connect this, if you will, to a verse of scripture in the, I believe it's the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. The 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, reading those two or three verses. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now we have there two rests. This is a suggestion that we might look at it that way, that this first rest here, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is the rest of conscience. And perhaps it would be like that rest that the pilgrim in Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress found. He was going along the road and he had a heavy burden on his back. And when he came to the cross, the scriptures say that the burden fell off his back. And we sang that hymn, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. That would be perhaps the rest of conscience. But now don't we have here in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Rest unto your souls. Now, beloved, it is true that we do not find any rest in this world as we have it there in the Epistle to the Hebrews. That is, we look for a rest to come. But is there not a rest for the pilgrim? And that rest for the pilgrim is the rest that we find under the tree in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because at that cross, all of those things which would give us unrest, which would give us uneasiness of spirit, and all of those energies which, when being active, cause us to come under the disciplinary hand of God, met their end there. Because any trouble that we have, any discipline that comes to us, any laborings or strivings that we have, are the result of our not just simply resting right there at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and realizing that all of those things which cause us to get into difficulty and cause us to get governmentally tangled up in this world like Lot did, were judged in our substitute there upon Calvary's cross. So that there's a real rest, isn't there, for the soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Abraham, I say carrying him along in his typical sense, certainly brings before us a man that would typify that, doesn't he? He was resting, and he knew what it was. And if we know what it is, we can invite somebody else to it. That was part of his hospitality. Let a little water be fetched, and let your feet be washed, and come and rest under the tree. That's a pilgrim's rest in this world, and it's something that Abraham knew about. But now let us notice some things here that about Lot. The two angels, and it wasn't even the Lord himself. The Bible tells us there in Genesis 18 that the Lord came to Abraham. But here we find that it were just two angels, and they came to Lot at even. Isn't it significant here that we have this contrast that certainly bears out the moral teaching and the moral force of the New Testament scriptures there about a person being asleep and one who is awake and a child of God of the day. And yet he's resting in relation to man's day. Now Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. That's quite a different place from sitting at one's tent door, isn't it? He was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Lot had amounted to something in the world. And that brings before us a real saint of God, a man that God could say was righteous. It vexed the soul of righteous Lot. But here was a man that had fallen asleep, and he had been caught in the stream of the movements of man's day. Because the gate of the city was a place of honor. It was a place of judgment. And here's a man who, in the typical sense of a Christian, is destined to sit and judge angels, that he's now attained a position of preeminence in the city of Sodom, a place that is just on the brink of its doom. And there Lot sits, a man that was justified, but certainly a picture of a believer that's gone to sleep. And he'd amounted to something in this world, and he was sitting there in the respectable position of a judge in the city of Sodom. And thus we find that his apparent rise in the eyes of men was a fall. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is, isn't it, ever in Scripture, as we have these moral principles brought before us in the Word, that a rise is a fall. And sometimes a fall is a real elevation. We find the Lord Jesus Christ coming down there in the second chapter of the Epistle to the Philippians. He went down, 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 became obedient unto death. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him. But how sad we see that Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And he was sitting too. He was resting too, wasn't he? He's the picture of a person who, instead of resting there, when there is the rest of the saints, he's a man who was resting now. And he was finding his portion in this present world. And yet, a true believer. How sad to see that here was a man that had gone to sleep, sitting in the seat of in the gate of Sodom. And he came there, these angels came there in the evening. Not in the daytime, but in the evening. Night. And this is the night of the world. And notice the things that Lot said when he came out. And we can find something good about Lot, as we can about all of the saints of God. And it is true that all saints of God do bear fruit. I remember one time in a Bible reading that the statement was made that there's no such thing as a saint of God that doesn't bear fruit. And somebody said, well, what fruit did Lot bear? Well, the Scriptures say that he was vexed at the filthy conversation of the wicked. And perhaps that was fruit in his life. And here we find that Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. Now, that's commendable in Lot, isn't it? It might have been something that he learned from Abraham, because the same thing happened. Lot saw these people, and he wanted to offer them hospitality. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he says, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night. Well, Abraham didn't say anything like that. Abraham didn't say tarry all night. Notice what Abraham said in verse 5. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort you, your hearts. After that, ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. Abraham was a man that was a pilgrim, that had pilgrim ways. And he didn't expect anything else from these men when they came to his tent door in the heat of the day. He said, after you've eaten, you'll pass on your way. You're a pilgrim. I'm a pilgrim. You're a pilgrim. We'll enjoy the pilgrim's fellowship together. And after that, you'll pass on your way. But Lot doesn't think like that. Lot says, come in and tarry all night. In other words, go to sleep. And he shows us that he was a believer that was asleep. Because he's inviting these others to come in and do the same thing that he's doing. That's the kind of hospitality that he's affording these men that were come as pilgrims, because they weren't residents in the city of Sodom. They were pilgrims, as far as Lot was concerned. But he does not give them a pilgrim's welcome, as Abraham did. Tarry all night. In other words, go to sleep and let that day take you unawares. Be like I am, is what Lot says, and enjoy the things that I enjoy. Now he says, wash your feet, too, as Abraham did. And wash your feet. But I would like to point out something in relation to that. And it's found in the Song of Solomon, if we could turn there just shortly. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and reading from verse 2, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. And then she answers, and she says, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handle of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. Now here we have a picture of a saint of God that is asleep. I sleep, but my heart waketh. And there comes a knock on the door. And this one that's standing on the outside is certainly the Lord himself. Now, the Lord is not asleep during the night. But he has to tell her here that his locks, his hair is wet with the drops of the night. And one of the excuses that she gives for not going out where he is that she's washed her feet. She's washed her feet. But the Lord said, except I wash you, you have no part with me. Except I wash you. She's washed her feet. In other words, she can't get out there where the Lord is because she's washed her feet. Well, I would prefer to look at this offer that Lot gives in somewhat the same sense. Because, you know, these two visitors were angels. They were not the Lord himself. And the Lord said, except I wash your feet, you have no part with me. The Lord was out there active in the night. And the scriptures say that his locks were filled with the dew of the night. But she couldn't go out where she was, where he was, because she'd washed her feet. And when she got up to go out to where he was, the scriptures say that my beloved had withdrawn himself. And that's the way the Lord does to us, isn't it? In other words, he provokes us. He wants us to come and find him. But we may be sure that the Lord is not found in this house, as it were. But he's outside all of the certain dwelling places of this world now, because he's a pilgrim. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now notice here, that he says, that Lot says, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house." Lot was dwelling in a house, but Abraham was dwelling in a tent. We're pilgrims in the wilderness, and our dwelling is a tent. But Lot had built himself a house. He had become identified with the earth dwellers. He found a place of rest in this world, but not Abraham. Abraham was a man that dwelt in tents. He was a pilgrim. He had the tent and the altar. And beloved, may that characterize us, that we do not find a certain dwelling place in this world. And he invites them to come and to stay all night with him, to sleep during the night. What a sad picture that is. Lot was a man that started out with Abraham. And he had, no doubt, learned a lot from Abraham. But one of the things that was missing in the life of Lot was that definite communication with the Lord himself that Abraham had. Abraham went by faith to the land of Canaan. God had appeared to him when he was there in Ur of the Chaldees. And certainly that brings before us this truth, or one of the things that it would bring before us would be this truth, that when we are in association with a godly person, or else if we're carried along in an assembly where there is spiritual power active, we have to be careful that we're not carried along on the crest of other persons' spirituality. That it has to be our own. It has to be our own. We have to appropriate it to ourselves. Because when the time of testing comes, if we have been in association with that which is godly, as Lot was, then we fail. And Lot was a man that had gone to sleep. And when the time of testing came, he was weighed in the balances and found wanting. And how important it is, whenever we make a decision in our lives, to be in the proper state of soul when that decision is made. Because Lot had quite a decision to make when he separated from Abraham. You know, when their cattle, their flocks of herds and their cattle were so large that the servants began to strive with one another. And Abraham said, "The time has come for us to have a parting of the ways." And Abraham said, and the freedom of choice was given to Lot. And Abraham said, "Lot, you take one direction, and whatever direction you take, I'll go the other direction. Because the time has come when we cannot go along together, because there's strife, and we don't want to have strife between ourselves." And you know, on that occasion, Lot made a mistake. He made a bad mistake. And it was because of the fact that he had been carried along with the spirituality and the communion of Abraham. And he did not have the reality of communion with the Lord Jesus Christ in his own soul. When he had to stand alone, he failed. He made a mistake. And what does the Scripture say that he did? The Scriptures say, and that's because he hadn't judged that which was within him that would cause him to make a mistake, that he looked at the well-watered round of the Jordan. It looked pretty, looked beautiful, looked like the garden of the Lord. And there have been many, a child of God, have made mistakes like that. When the time comes to make a change, be sure that you have the mind of God about it. And don't look at something like Lot did through the eyes that are unanointed with communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, because Lot looked down upon the well-watered round of the Jordan, and the Bible says it looked to him like the garden of the Lord. He brought the Lord into it. It's the Lord's will for me to go down there where the grass is green. And it says that he pitched his tent toward Sodom, and he separated from Abraham. But then we find that it wasn't long after he pitched his tent toward Sodom that we find that he was living in Sodom. Then he was married. Then he had a family. And then pretty soon, he is sitting in the gate of Sodom. That is the climax, the culmination of a course as the result of not having the reality of faith and of communion and of obedience to the Word of God in one's own soul. And beloved, it just presents before us a Christian that's gone asleep and has not heeded the exhortation to let us not sleep as others, because we're not of the night, but of the day. And look what Lot lost. He lost his associated blessing with Abraham. He lost his tent, because when he was with Abraham, he had a tent, like Abraham did. He lost all of his belongings when Sodom was destroyed. He lost his wife. And in the end, he lost his honor. No more dishonorable personage comes before us in Scripture than Lot. But yet, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, and it's a good thing that it does tell us, because we would never know otherwise, I don't believe, that Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a picture of a Christian that's going to sleep. And Abraham is a picture of the saint of God who lives in the reality of his Christianity and in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, and who finishes his course with joy and finishes it triumphantly. Shall we sing hymn number 19 in the appendix? Hymn number 19 in the appendix.